Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Fairhaven. Good morning. You may be seated. Thank you, Mackenzie and worship team. I always look forward to coming and getting the privilege of speaking here, especially because I get to hear Mackenzie and the worship team. So that's a great joy, great honor to, that's good. Clap for them. That's awesome. Just love it. Love it. And as Pastor Greg said, it is spring break week. Man, can I remember this week. My wife was a school teacher and we would always drive down with our four kids in that van to South Carolina, North Carolina. We would visit all of our family in this week of spring break. And I gotta tell you, I don't miss driving. So I'm here with you this week and I'm celebrating, as he said, these quieter roads. I laugh because I think about when we took that journey, like to me it was a journey. I was always the kind that I would budget money. When we stopped at gas stations, I had the rule, kids get to go in. I mean, this is an awful hard trip. You get to go in there and buy whatever you want. And Jane's so practical, like, we're just blowing money. So I just remember our conversations that weren't real pleasant. So here we are, past those days. Somebody's experiencing that right now on Sunday. So I pray safety over them. Pastor Greg prayed for safety for all the families. Some, I'm sure, part of your family that's making that trip. But I'm so thankful you're here this morning, and I want to tell you where we're going. I want to tell you the end of the message. I'm going to simply ask you a question, and it's going to be, does God have your attention, and does he have your devotion? And probably by your attendance here this morning, you're saying, yes, but let's contemplate it a bit before you just throw out your answer. We have Holy Week coming up, those special Sundays we celebrate, Palm Sunday and Easter that Pastor Greg will be sharing. And then post that, right after that, we're going to be going into a series on the Ten Commandments. These guidelines and rules that God gave the Israelites that are still very fitting today. In fact, I'm going to be doing one of the messages in that series, and the part that Pastor Greg has asked me to preach on, as I was reading over it the last couple of days, I was like, wow, I think God wrote these particular commandments I'm sharing for 2025, and I'll share what that means later. But those commandments are endless. There's no date on them. And I want to talk about the setup where God was about to share them. So I want to give you the way it all came together, that God called the Israelites together and called Moses up onto Mount Sinai. This morning, we're going to work our way right up to the edge of where Moses will receive the Ten Commandments. And you know how I like to preach, is to invite you into the story, not just tell it to you or go through the scripture. I'm going to let you become one of the Israelites this morning. I want you to travel back with me. I want you to get the picture here. We've just left Egypt. We've been traveling in the desert for 3 months. Now, you might have a picture of like the little group driving down to Florida. No, 3 months. And there's over 1 million of us walking together. We have a few hundred here this morning. Imagine 1 million people. This morning we have the blessing of a microphone. I don't have to yell. I can simply speak to you and you can hear me clearly. Imagine what it would have been like just to try to get 1 million people's attention to say, we're moving here and going to this place today. It would have been more like just follow the crowd. There was no big text that went out and said, hey, in the morning, we're headed out. You just got it word of mouth. And I picture the number of things that happened even in that. Have you ever played the game where you start and you say, I'm going to whisper something in your ear. Then you whisper it in their ear. You're like 10 people. By the time you get to the end, it's not even the same sentence. I have to think there were days when Moses said, hey, we're headed out tomorrow. And over here, they heard something like, hey, who do you want to borrow? I have no idea. But I just think communication would have been challenging. And I'm asking you to put yourself in the crowd. We know there were 600,000 men plus women and children, so over a million, living in the desert. Just think of the inconveniences, if you will. Just think of getting food together for your family. Think of trying to somehow keep a baby clean. Just put yourself in the crowd. And I'm going to begin to read to you from the book of Exodus chapter 19, setting it all up. Here we go. On the first day of the third month, 3 months I told you, they journeyed in the desert. They have just left Egypt. After the Israelites left Egypt, and on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, Rephidim means resting place. So they had paused on their 3 month journey to rest a little bit because their journey was, we got to get on the go. Again, all of you, picture having a 1 month old, a 5 month old, a 2 year old, an 18 year old. Just put yourself in the story. They set out from Israel camped, I should say, from Rephidim and set out the desert. And arrived in front of Mount Sinai. So here's the pic. It's coming up on the screen. We've arrived at the base of the mountain. A million of us. Look at the majestic mountain in front of you. It made a statement. If any of you have ever been down to the Blue Ridge Mountains or been on a motorcycle or a car and drove the Blue Ridge Highway, which is the area where I lived growing up. It's majestic. It's unbelievable. You see sights and you go, this is just surreal. And when we, as the million Israelites, gathered here at the base of this mountain, it was like, that's unreal. The 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds in the group, some of you here who are younger, you would be like, whoa, I've never seen anything like that. Stood out. God's getting our attention. I'll share that with you. So we arrive. Moses, verse 3, went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. So Moses is our representative to God. One person chosen to go and have connection with him. You yourselves have seen, God said to him, what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God is saying to Moses, y'all know how you all arrived here, right? 3 months ago, you were slaves in Egypt. Look how I have brought you here. You got to get in your mind, because when we say Israel, you guys are picturing what you see on TV screen, and you're picturing the Hamas stuff, and you're picturing Gaza and all those things. Let's go back. We're at the beginning of the nation. They're not even a nation yet. They're just a fledgling little group of people, a million strong, who have nowhere to go. So get that picture in your mind. And God is saying to Moses, let all of Jacob's descendants know I brought you here. I got you out of slavery. And then he uses the analogy on eagle's wings. For most of us, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, when I say an eagle, many of you know it would be the representation of our nation's bird. That you've seen a lot of statues of eagles on the top of a flagpole. But I wanna put a little more perspective on it. I grew up in the Carolinas, and my father did not believe you could have a television. He thought that was sinful. So as a kid growing up, I never had TV. So I found lots of stuff to do. I played a lot of basketball, but I lived in the woods. We lived the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and so I was always out with a BB gun early in my life, then a rifle, then a shotgun. I was a woods kid. I would wake up in the morning, Mom would tell me, go get quail, go get squirrel. That's what we ate. So as a young boy growing up, 12, 13, 14, I was in the woods a lot. And I would literally go in the morning and just sit in the woods and just watch. And no TV home, so you had to find something to do. And I liked nature, I liked the woods, I liked the creeks, I loved all that stuff. And if you ask me right now, how does a squirrel build a nest? I can tell you, I don't need to Google it, I watched them do it. I would get really quiet and sit for hours in the woods, camouflaged, watching animals do their thing. The Israelites were able to see that kind of stuff. They didn't have anything in front of them in their lives. When they were in Egypt, they were slaves. They spent their time being slaves and then watching nature. So when God used the analogy with them of eagle's wings, they would have said, oh man, that one day I was working out there and breaking my back doing slavery work, and I looked up and saw that eagle come out of that nest and fly. I thought, wow, I'd love that freedom. These analogies made sense to them. So today, what I'm going to do for just a moment is share something with you I've been watching. Some of you are going to watch it after I tell you this. It's worth watching. I just checked. It's a live feed that's on YouTube. We actually recorded it so it wouldn't mess up with going, but it's live right now. I just checked. In first service, there were 15,000 people watching the live feed. Right now, I just looked on my phone before I walked up here, there's 25,000 people watching the live feed. There is a bird's nest, an eagle's nest, in Big Bear Valley in San Bernardino, California, that has been live for many, many weeks right now. Here it is coming up on the screen. There's an eagle that has a nest. You can go see it right now. Go to YouTube, Google up Big Bear Valley live eagle's nest, and you're going to see it. 25,000 people are doing it right now. I've been watching for over a month this mama bird set on her egg day after day after day. Then three little babies were born. One died. The mom took it away, but there's two little eaglets there. And there's a dad that comes into the scene every now and then. The mom will leave. You can watch it all. It never goes away. And I've just been watching it. And I've been fascinated by it. I've seen that mama bird pull a... I'll just keep it on wherever I am. I'll see that mama bird go sometimes and get a huge fish and bring and sit it right on the corner of that nest and break it apart and feed those little babies, feed herself, feed the babies. There's the dad that just flew in. When they were recording it, it just happened. They weren't trying to find it. It's live all the time. This is just live all the time. And my goodness, I have thought to myself, this is the Israelites. They're the little eaglets. God is saying, y'all get that I take care of you. I watch you 24/7. These little eaglets have no idea what's going on yet in their life. There's going to come a day, they'll grow up, they'll be about the size of those eagles there. Those eagles weigh between 8 and 12 pounds. And those little eaglets are going to grow up, and you can watch it. I'm going to try to be watching the day those little eaglets go out of the nest. We won't get a good picture. They'll probably just fall over the edge, and that's it, and we'll never know what happened. But that's us. That's Israel. God is saying, you get I provide everything for you, right? Like your 24/7 protection, you get that I provide that for you, right? You understand that I see you in my nest and I've got you. And there are days you think you got it all figured out. You don't. You depend on me. Israelites, do you see Jacob? All the Israelites, the descendants, that was Jacob's descendants there, the million people. God said to Moses, will you tell them how they got here? Will you let them know I monitor the nest? And today I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to offer you something, and it's your call if you want to accept it. Love it. God said to them, now, if you obey me fully and keep the covenant, the commandments that I'm about to give you, then out of all nations on the earth, God says to Moses, tell them out of all nations on the earth, if they will obey, if they will obey, they will become my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, God said, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words I want you to go down and tell them. So Moses comes down and says, God wants me to let you know. He gathered all the elders together. A while ago, Pastor Greg said, will the deacons please come to receive today's offerings? And you saw a group of people get up. I watched them. They walked around. They received the offering. Moses came back down the mountain and said, elders, come here. And a group of people walked up to him and he said, here's the deal. God's about to give us something. We know what happened in the next few days. We know about the Ten Commandments. The Israelites don't know what's coming. And God said, I'm about to give you something that if you want to get in on it, if you will obey, you're going to be my treasured possession. Now, I want to go back and read the words that says, now, if you obey, it's your call. God does not say, forced required obedience. No, you will decide, I'm going to share this command with you, and you get to obey. It's your choice. I want to show you a little something I've been thinking about a lot. It's coming up on the screen. Life is a journey of obedience, and I want to show you this next little thought. We cheat ourselves out of the richness of God's blessings by not entering into full obedience. Let me try to explain that and make sense of it. So when God lays something on your heart, if you will go all in obedience, God has something really rich. You're a chosen prized possession of His. And so many times we go, I'm half in on that. And I believe we never really fully know what God had for us. Israel, as y'all know, the story of the Israelites, do you remember? Up and down. If I had a timeline here and could draw it, it would be, we're all in, God will do everything. Well, then they fell into disobedience. There's a whole book in the Bible called Judges. Israel did not have a king, did not have a leader, did not have a person in charge of them. And so God gave judges to help them because they were secular. They would go up and then they would be disobedient. Then they'd go up and be disobedient. And it's the same way we live. So many times, I'll speak for me. So many times, you know, I compare myself to Christ. I should really compare myself to the Israelites. I'm way more up and down. And just to make this message very, very personal, I've got an issue right now. Somebody asked me after service, can you share with me what it is? No, I won't. It's an issue that the Lord has laid on my heart. He wants me to be obedient with. I laid in bed last night and thought about it. I could be half obedient and still pull it off. I can be 3/4 obedient and still say I was obedient. Full obedience, oh, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard. And I laid in bed last night and go, wow, I'm going over to Fairhaven and I'm gonna talk about obedience and how the Israelites were given an opportunity to be obedient and how we this morning have a chance to be fully obedient. And I'm laying in bed last night going, well, I guess I'm gonna be tested myself. Because tomorrow's Monday, it's when the test begins, tomorrow. On this issue. And I want to see, because it's easy for me to stand in front of y'all and go, yep, I love God and I'm going to be obedient. It's a lot harder to do it. Lip service is so easy. But I believe if I will go and fully live into this thing the Lord has laid on my heart, if I'll fully like surrender, lay down what I want to do, lay down what I'd like to say, just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with it completely. I really believe I will know God's complete blessing for me in this thing. I don't believe, I do believe, if I don't go all in, that I'll never really know what he fully had for me. And I believe many of us live with half what he was hoping for us to experience with him. I believe many of us will die and go, hey, the Lord was good to me. And I think God in heaven is going, I got even more for you if you just be fully obedient. And I got a feeling everybody in here right now, all the way up to the teens in the room, can go, I know an area I need to be obedient. And you get to, let me read the words. If you obey, it's your call. And so the Israelites went a place where Moses said, God's going to give us something. It's up to us if we're going to obey. And the elders in unison, watch this. The elders in unison said, we will do everything God has said. Love it. I love it. Because that's what's easy for me to say too. Right after I've worshiped and Pastor Greg has spoken and Pastor Lori has spoken and they give you a challenge and you go, I'm in, I'm in. Because this part is so easy. It's after I get in the car and I drive home. Then reality hits me going, this isn't as easy as it was when I was in there in front of that whole thing. If obedience was easy, all of us would be doing it. The world would just be falling to be obedient. It's not easy. We live in a world you get that actually says, why are you being obedient to God? Do what you want to do, man. Go where you want to go, however you want to go, when you want to go. Just do your thing. And the world says, and then that, you're going to be all that. And then you get to the end of it and go, why am I not peaceful? Because peace comes, inner peace. Like down inside me, peace comes from obedience. And the Israelites said, we'll do it. And as soon as you say it, as soon as you say, I'll be obedient, then you become responsible. And I want to just take a moment here because I sat on the little stool in my office going, this is really what this message is about. Like, why is this in the Bible? This is what it's about right here. It's about me being responsible to understand that I need to be obedient. What does it mean to be responsible? I'm going to put up three things on the screen here. What does it mean? Like today, that area of your life where you know, like that thing I know the Lord is, what does it mean that I'm responsible? Here they are. The first one is this. There is something incredibly valuable at stake here. This is important. This deserves my focus. Because there's lots of things in this world that pulls our focus. And this thing deserves it. I'm with a young man this week. He's got a choice. I mean, he's literally got a choice. He can go this way or he can go this way. This way is going to lead him to healthier living. It's going to probably literally save his life based on what some people are telling me. If he chooses this path, he's probably not going to live over a couple more years. And he knows it. There's a lot at stake here. And I actually spoke with someone who knows him really well and said, I think he's going to pick this. He said, I don't think he's going to be around in 2 years. There's a lot at stake. Could even be your life. For many of you, choosing this path of obedience today, it's going to have big ramifications for your children. Like it might be why your family stays together. And the world will tell you, do what you want. If your family doesn't stay together, it's no big deal. Who cares? I care. I accept the responsibility of it. I believe there's something at stake, and I'm going to do what I believe is right and God has called me to do. Even if it costs me a little bit, I'm going to do it. And some of you today have a choice. And I'm asking you to weigh it and go, what's at stake? I'm not telling you that's easy. Do you think there might be a reason that the world says, do what the heck you want? Yeah, because it doesn't require discipline. It doesn't require effort. You can do this one easy. But this one requires something of me, and I'm going to do it because something's at stake. And God was saying to the Israelites, going to be something at stake here. And secondly, you need to know you play a part in making sure the best possible outcome happens. The Israelites were going to play a part in the outcome. You're going to hear the Ten Commandments in the weeks coming ahead. You get to play a part in how those Ten Commandments affect your life. God gave them, and we play a part in the outcome of what they do in our life. It's a pretty big deal. And third, I wrote this down because it's 2025, and I wanted to say it in a language that maybe the teens in here would get. This isn't a flippant little ditty. We live in a flippant little ditty world. Like, do what you want to do, man. Come on, man. Don't take yourself so serious. Life's not about all it's about what you want. So I listen. Please don't judge me for this. It's what I do. It's how I prepare. It's what I do in life. I listen to a lot of top 40 music. On the way here this morning, I listened to a radio station out of California. It plays all the top current music of the day. I do it on purpose. I want to hear the message that the average teen in our culture hears every day because I want to be able to speak to them. I know what Sabrina Carpenter is saying to you. I listen to the words. I pay attention. I like the beat. I've always liked music. I'm an American Idol fan, partly because I love to see talented people. I absolutely love it. I like it. But the message of the songs I listened to this morning from Billie Eilish, Sabrina Carpenter, other top people, at the end of the day, I mean, I literally listened to him this morning driving here to preach, and I went, man, at the end of that song, there's an emptiness. It's catchy. It's cool. It's ditty-ish. And it leaves me empty. Because God made something way bigger inside me than dittiness. He said, I'm making you in my image, and you're going to long for me. You're going to want me. You're going to have something inside you that you can't find in the top 40. And in this flippant little world, that element to me is responsibility for what you know. And today I'm asking you, since you know that God is calling you to that next level, take that step. Be willing to go where he asks you to go. And do it partly out of what you're about to see God and Moses have a back and forth. And in that back and forth, what you're about to see is reverence for God. We've lost this in our culture. We've made God buddy-buddy, which is good in some ways because I do want you to understand, teen, kid in the room, God wants to connect with you, but he's not your buddy-buddy. He is omnipotent. He is almighty. He is creator. He is sustainer. He's what that mountain, can you throw the mountain back up? He is that mountain in the valley of your life. He is abundantly majestic. And we miss that because we've dumbed him down to us. And he's not us. And many of you know the song, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. That's the song that you teens all know. And God's not a slob. He's majestic. He's powerful. He's omnipotent. And check this out. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking to you and they will always put their trust in you. Listen to that phrase. God said, Moses, you're going to be leading a million people. I need them to listen to you. So I'm going to come down and I'm going to speak to you. I don't know how he did it. But I'm going to talk to you so that the people go, hey, Moses speaks straight up to God. He knew what was coming in the years ahead for Israel. They're just a fledgling little, not even nation yet. He knew what Israel would look like in 2025. And he knew they would need to know a mighty God. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people down there, consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes, be ready for the third day, because on the day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain. Tell them to be careful. Do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Look at the base down there. Don't go down there. Don't get close. If they do, they are to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. Like if somebody walks up and gets on the base of the mountain, don't even touch them, just shoot them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. What? See, in our culture, we read that and go, what? What kind of God? Step back a minute. This is the part of our culture that's lost our reverence for Almighty God going, what he's trying to say to us is, I am holy. Step back. I am holy. I can promise you, I can't explain this yet, because in my mind, I was trying to think, my earthly ability to communicate the holiness and the awesomeness and the majesty of God today, one, if one in a millionth opportunity, I would just be a fraction of the one. I can't. I don't have... Man can't do it. I'm incapable of describing a God who can create that and a God who can put the sky you're about to see all together and it still be lasting. I can't communicate his power. And he's saying, I want y'all to reverence and understand how amazingly holy I am. And many in our culture would go, I don't like that. I understand it's who God is. And there will become a day, there will come a day where the Bible says every knee will bow, even those who don't believe in him. And I'm just responsible as a preacher and teacher of his word to let y'all know God's serious about who he is and wanting your attention. He's serious about it. Not out of fear, out of respect and awe and whoa. I can't make one of those. Got it. After Moses had gone down from the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. I don't even know what that would mean 3 months outside, but anyway. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Imagine that, guys. Put yourselves, we're all at the base, and that mountain is shaken and covered with smoke. Okay, God's got our attention. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered. The Lord descended from the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses and him talked. It's about time to get the Ten Commandments. We're right up to the edge of God saying, here they are, Moses, carve them in stone. Why is this in the Bible? Like, why is this story in the Bible? And I want to show you a couple of things. God wants our attention, and God wants our devotion. Listen, attention means I notice you. Some of you, when you first met your spouse, oh, that one gets my attention. God is saying, Israelites, I got your attention today, didn't I? The dense cloud, the smoke, the mountain trembling. Then he said, I want your devotion. That's your loyalty. And all I've come to ask you this morning is a very simple question. Does he have yours? It's simple. It's a yes or a no. And yet I would say to you, at what level? Like tomorrow, am I going to go and fully obey, or am I going to kind of, I can get by with three quarters. I can pull this off with half obedience tomorrow. I can. But I will miss out on what I believe God would have for me, the next level of teaching he wants to give me, the next level of growing him, the next level of understanding him. It's my call if I want to go deeper with him. And I want today to live at a place of obedience, not just lips. And I'm asking you, wherever God's calling you, to be obedient. Fully, fully, I invite you into that. So, Lord, I lay this little message at your feet. I lay these thoughts. We're all God's people. We're all your kids. And some of us know a step we need to take today. And I pray that you would help us to understand it's because you love us so much, so stinking much, and you just want relationships with us. And you want us to know you. Because, man, I know for me in my life, as I've aged, I just have a peace in an uncertain and a flippant, ditty little world. And I pray this week, no matter what culture does, no matter what politics does, that we would not gaze sideways, but that we would gaze up, and we would say, I'm going to obey. And obey you fully. We give you this time this morning and give you our hearts and pray your hand over us. And all of us said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.